I really appreciate Fran Shaka, his family coming. Of course, he just mentioned to me that that it's kind of become a tradition for them to be here on this evening. And, you know, I mean, when we say a tradition, I know like with somebody like Fran, what that means is like, this is a good thing for me and my family. And it really is. It's a special time. Amen. And we take that time tonight with a lot of meaning. And on Monday, Thursday, you know, you have a lot of stuff. You know, we have the foot washing in just a little while. We have the sermon. We have the Holy Eucharist, the sacrament. And sometimes when people talk to me about, you know, our church, and they go, well, what do you believe? You believe in two sacraments or seven sacraments? What does your church believe in? And, you know, my answer really is this, that we officially embrace seven sacraments, but we believe that everything is sacramental, that the world is sacramental, you know, that the Bible is sacramental. It's matter, but yet it changes, literally changes your spirit. It can literally change your life. Just reading. It's not just ink and paper and bonded leather or whatever. It's the Word of God. And it's matter that's made sacred. And we believe there are so many things that are like that, that are just, you know, that we embrace. And tonight, we'll participate in several things that are just very sacramental, where matter becomes sacred. So, again, I'm not going to preach long tonight. We have, you know, this is a pretty full service, and it's a special time. And then we'll have the stripping of the altar after the service, which is always a very, very powerful, just a time to be a part of Jesus and what we experience in this Holy Week. So I just want to just say a few things quickly about really the Passover and what happened, because that's one of the things we'll talk about. But even we do visually the stripping of the altar, and you know, that fits in also in the Holy Week. And Fran was mentioning, if I'm right, Fran, you said that April 3rd was the actual day of the crucifixion that falls this year, but it rarely ever happens. But this is literally the date or the anniversary of the crucifixion. So is that right? Am I saying that right? And the year was 33. Amen. April 3rd. So we're really participating in even a more real way this evening, that God has some things that's very special about that. But I just want to talk just a little bit about the Passover and what happened, and, you know, what Jesus was saying, not getting into detail about all the, you know, the meanings of everything that were there that they were commanded to do, but just what happened. And first of all, just that when Jesus was there with his followers and they were about to partake of the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, you know, it was so easy for the men in the room, the people that were there, to go like, you know, even though we hear his words, we hear what he's saying to us about, you know, these new things coming, but like, no, this is like, you know, in their own human nature, they had to feel like, no, this is the end of something. That's probably what they felt like. You know, Jesus, I want it to be true. I believe you. I don't believe you're a liar, but we're losing you. You know, and then especially as they went on even to the crucifixion, it's like something ended. But really, that's not true. Something began. It was a beginning. It was a new beginning. We saw that it was just a whole new beginning, that that new things were about to happen, new things, that the world literally was turned upside down and changed forever. so that salvation has come to all. It's a new thing. And you know, I was thinking about this, and I'm going to share this. I know that, you know, everybody's not here tonight, and you know, we've got two more services for Holy Week before Easter Sunday, but I believe it's a new thing for our church. See, God is doing something new in our church. It's really not been done before. And what God has for us is a new beginning. What we've had in the past is we've had changes. Even as I assumed the rectorship of the church, and then Father Carl, it was really just a continuation of something that had already been going on. Things that we were familiar with, people that we've been familiar with. And I know that now, like, there are people that are going like, oh, whoa, it's going to be somebody new. Yes, it is. It's going to be somebody new, and it's going to be something new.
Amen.
It's going to be something new and fresh and different.
Amen.
God is taking us to a new place. And I know it feels scary for us. You're going like, oh, no, Bishop said, yeah, Bishop told me this, and Father Terry's saying these things that are, you know, things are going to be new and they're going to be better. But it's the same. We got the same mindset that the disciples had. Yeah, Jesus, I know you're telling us these things are going to happen. You're going to be raised from the dead and all that, but what I see is you're going to be leaving. He's saying, no, there's something new coming. Something new and special and good. Second, we saw that this was a personal thing. That we see that as he was there with his disciples, that they washed each other's feet. That's personal. That's really personal. That's like looking in the eyes stuff. You know, that's really being intimate. That's like, you know, things you begin to start thinking of things, and you begin to go like, this is like humility. This is taking me to a place of humility. I don't really like that place. I don't like where God's taking me. But being, and as I spoke on Sunday morning, when humility comes, it's like the bishop followed up with it Sunday night. Even getting to a place where our heart and our attitude and our minds need to be changed, where we need to be taking the mind of Christ. Like Bishop said, that even that in and itself is a supernatural act. And I know that many times, you know, we want the supernatural. We want the healing. We want the miracles. We want the all of the different, you know, the extravaganzas and all of the, you know, and those things are, there's nothing bad wrong with that. When great things happen and many people know, many people's lives are changed. But sometimes there are supernatural miracles that take place, and getting us from a place where our mind is renewed is a supernatural act. There's nothing, listen, people, a lot of Christians, it's funny today, you know, because a lot of Christians deny supernatural things. They go to church, they believe, you know, they love Jesus, they walk the walk, they talk the talk, but they when it gets to supernatural miracles of healing and different kind of things that happen, they kind of go, you know, well, that's supernatural. But everything about Jesus is supernatural. Believing that somebody that died 2,000 years ago on this date, believing that that can change your life, your spirit, your soul forever and ever, that is supernatural to start with. So if you just deny that Christianity is a supernatural thing, I mean, you have to pretty much deny that anything ever happened to your heart in the first place when you were born again. Being born again is as supernatural as you get. Amen. So it's personal. It's personal. You know, and then we know that this time that they were there together, it was a time for a new beginning. It was a personal, they had a personal time that was very personal, it was very real, but also It was the beginning of a journey. A journey not for just those people in the room, but for every Christian throughout eternity. Think of that. Think of all of the people that came before us. You know, that's why, like, I look at the world, and, you know, I talked a little bit about it Sunday. I hate to bring up bad news. I told you a lot of bad things in the world, but that is what keeps me going. That's what makes me believe that one day that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Because no matter what this world looks like, no matter how bad they treat Christians, no matter how many Christians are killed or executed, and today we know of over 200 in Kenya were killed for being Christians. It said they were killing Christians. As soon as they found out they were Christians, they just shot them and killed them. You know what? The blood of those martyrs is going to bring about a world that will believe in Jesus Christ and believe He is the one, the only one, the true one. So it's the beginning of a journey. Many, many have walked that. Billions of people have walked that journey before us just to get us here tonight. So we could stand on their shoulders. So we could take on the burden of Jesus, which is light. His yoke is light. Amen? So I want you to remember those things. But we also saw that on that night that they came together, as they came together in unity, we understand, and I can't say it enough, I'll never stop saying it till the last breath that I have. God desires unity in His church, among His body, that we would be in union and unity with Him, and that is where we will find peace once and for all. That is where peace is. That's where comfort is. That's where hope is. It's in the unity of the church, the believers, the people who believe in Jesus Christ. As we begin to walk in unity, we'll begin to see John 17 fulfilled in our life. We'll see it fulfilled in the world. That because we come together, because we become one, as Him and the Father are one, the world will know that He has been sent. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.